Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, the podcast where we share news, information, tips, tricks, and resources about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast application, and you can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page. Dyscalculia is not the same as mad dyslexia. Dyscalculia covered by insurance. Count me in. Dyslexia has 100 times more chance to be diagnosed than dyscalculia. And dyscalculia while traveling. This is a podcast from week 14 in 2024. And welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services. She's going to help us look at the links from this week in Dyscalculia. Welcome, Dr. Schroeder.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to see you. It's great to see you. We have wonderful links for the week. Especially the last one is very interesting. Just can't wait till we get there, dyscalculia while traveling. But anyway, let's start with the first one. And the first one says that dyscalculia is not mad dyslexia. But many people refer to it that way, right?
Yeah, I know. They do. And to introduce someone to dyscalculia at the very first time, you can indeed tell them that it's something like dyslexia, but then for math, because then they have at least a framework that gives a little bit of understanding. Now, however, upon a closer looking at the two learning disabilities, there are some important differences. And the link here goes to the graphic from the Understood organization on the Instagram post, and it shows clearly what they have in common and what are the main issues specific to dyslexia and specific to dyscalculia.
Okay, that's clear.
And obviously there are a few more, but the purpose of this graphic was not to go into excruciating detail,
No. But
give a quick overview so that you have an idea of what we're talking about. And they both will have trouble, so the dyslexia and the dyscalculia, students who have that will have trouble with working memory, feeling isolated from their peers,
mm-hmm. And
they obviously deserve support from the school. So it's a quick way to alert people to dyscalculia, but you would always follow up with some more details, and dyscalculia deserves that.
Absolutely.
A lot more. I know that there are some question marks, but we really get every year more information about
right. What
this learning disability entails.
Good. Good. Now, the next link says dyscalculia covered by insurance. Is that true?
Well, yes, in the UK.
Oh.
And they know.
That's 6,000 miles away.
Right.
That doesn't help me tomorrow.
They now start to offer free ADHD testing for employees of some large companies. So
please
do not think that all over the UK everybody can easily access this and charge to their insurance. But this is a good start.
It's a good start, yeah.
And also they are committed to start covering testing for other learning disabilities. Now here in the US we have a kind of artificial border between ADHD, which is under medical issues, and learning disabilities, which are a different chapter.
So is ADHD covered by your medical insurance then?
Uh-huh, yes.
Oh, okay.
So, but obviously there are a lot of overlap between learning disabilities and ADHD, but that now we go into policies, and I am not very good at that. I do not want to go into that area where I'm not knowledgeable. Anyway, in the UK, they would obviously, to get this covered by your insurance, a referral from a doctor.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's not covered.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, in the US, this is different. Here we have the IDEA law. They should take of testing for learning disabilities for most elementary school children.
Okay. So you shouldn't need your insurance. The
schools. You shouldn't need your insurance for the learning disability assessment.
Right.
I do not know if they all include ADHD assessment, but that could fall under your medical insurance.
Right.
So, now I have to say, unfortunately, not all school districts are really very forward to doing these assessments. And
right.
sometimes they even require a student to have failed twice before they will schedule an assessment, which is obviously not the best approach, because everybody now knows that early intervention is the best.
Yeah.
Has the best prognosis. So if you wait too long, the problem grows and grows. Anyway, well, it means that in reality, once a student has been identified, scheduled, and assessed, there's a lot more damage done than when it had been picked up immediately and could have been nipped in the bud. Anyway, I have seen that they could be 3-4 years behind their peers due to the delay in the school district.
Okay. Well, the next link is about the shortest link we've ever seen on the website. It just says, count me in. What is that?
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to say it. And it's actually a great initiative. It's a book by Ruth Gordon, who has been teaching for over 50 years. And now she has written this book to explain to children about their math learning challenges, and about overcoming frustrations that they may experience in school, but also at home with the homework.
Okay.
And dyscalculia is so unknown still, and certainly children may have so many worries about it.
Yeah, right.
So it's a very good initiative. It's a nice looking little booklet. So I can't yet speak about all of the content because I haven't read the book myself yet. But it's great that there is such a tool available now to help children over with their worries. And certainly somebody who has been teaching for over 50 years has seen it all
and is able to write
about it.
Absolutely. Now, the next link says that a child with dyslexia is 100 times more likely to be diagnosed than a child with dyscalculia. How is that possible?
Yeah, this was discovered actually already in 2018, a study co-authored by Kinga Morsani, I hope I pronounced that correctly, a senior lecturer in mathematical cognition at Loughborough University in the UK. And it said that a child with dyslexia is 100 times more likely to be diagnosed and given support than a child with dyscalculia. Now, I didn't know it was 100 times.
I knew it was extreme.
Definitely a multiple of 10
really
times
as
many. But okay, she has done some study about it, and she came up with around 100 times more likely. So what are the reasons for this? First of all, dyscalculia is far less understood at this moment than dyslexia, and less known by educators and researchers. And unfortunately, at this moment, there is no one agreed upon criterion that will say this is your diagnosis or not. And actually, I foresee that there will not be a so-called straight line in the sand here. It is not that easy. There is way too many variation in between different students with dyscalculia to say, okay, this is a yay or nay thing that we can easily count out with a simple test or something. So, I have to say, to date, the research is inconclusive, and there continues to be that debate around another thing, whether it's more number blindness or that it's more an issue is number perception. So, the number perception, that is about estimating how many objects there are. So, an actual number that you can see and touch. Well, the description of the number blindness. So obviously, it's not real blindness. They can see the numbers.
Sure,
they can
sure, sure.
They read see the numbers. Right, they right, can right. write the numbers, but it's a difficulty with recognizing numerical symbols, recognizing, and also connecting that. How is that symbol that you write down, the 4 and the 26 that you write down on a piece of paper, how is that connected to the actual quantity that it represents? And that link there is a big issue. So dyscalculia does not have one specific cause or a single set of symptoms, and studies exploring the causes have given sometimes conflicting results. Now, also, the dyscalculia research is, unfortunately, still far behind the dyslexia research. It started a lot later, in part because of a lack of awareness and funding, and also because math, beyond a very basic level, I feel is not as prioritized as much as reading.
Right.
Yeah, but everybody knows it's still socially acceptable to be bad at math.
Oh, I'm so bad at math. You hear that so often.
Okay, yeah, me too.
Right.
Or parents still have the attitude to say about their child, well, he's just not a math person, when there is research that proves that there is no such thing as a math person and a not math person.
We all have the same gray matter up there. Yeah.
Well, it's sometimes a little bit constructed differently, but right. Okay, function might be different too. So basically, our work is not done yet, but this is good awareness, and it's article is actually in Scientific American.
That's
so you
good
can
awareness.
Go to that
good
website
awareness.
And find it there.
Well, that brings us to our last link. I've been waiting for this one. It sounds very intriguing. It talks about dyscalculia while traveling. What is that about?
It's a posting, the last one here, from Twitter, or X, obviously, as it now called. And this person apparently has ADHD and dyscalculia and got themselves confused in finding the right terminal and gate and missed a flight.
Oh, that is horrible.
This is one of these often not recognized consequences of having unremediated dyscalculia as an adult.
Right.
So many people think that with their iPhone and a calculator, they'll manage. But the trick is always how to use the calculator and the iPhone features. What to put where, what strategies to apply. There is more than just typing in numbers. And even typing in numbers can be difficult. It can be mixed up, or you put your decimal dot at the wrong place. You get really strange answers. Now, it actually reminds me of the joke about the washer repairman who was called, and he comes in and he kicks the washer, and now the washing machine works, and he charged $505. Now the owner was very distraught, obviously, and asked why so much for one kick. He explained, well, it's $5 for the kick. That is like having a calculator, and $500 for knowing where to kick and how hard. And that you can compare that with applying strategies in the right way.
Okay.
So yes, also adults can have a need for assessment and remediation. And also they shouldn't be shy to ask about it.
Absolutely. Wise words. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Schroeder, for your insights. We hope to see you again next week. Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services, always here to help us, always here to help you too. So what you can do is you can shoot her an email, or you can go to her brand new artificial intelligence assistant and go to dyscalculia.ai.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. You can find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at dyscalculiahead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments and contributions to communications@discoculiaheadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.